Smith learned new enchantments as well, something that excited them to no end and increased their regard for him. Even knowing one or two enchantments made a smith valuable. If they ever had to leave the village, they would be employed in a heartbeat. That, of course, was not what Richter wanted, and something he planned to avoid at all costs. It was a worry for the future, though. The celebration of the now was that he had gained complete access to the forge's enchantments. Now every single colored light that danced inside of the central anvil was his to command. He was even able to learn most of the enchantments from Nian's armor. The exceptions were the greaves of shadow pull and the dirk of piercing. Those merely crumpled to dust, unfortunately. Even with greatly increased luck, there was always a chance of failure. He didn't risk seeking the enchantment from the runed gauntlets. Those went to Bartle and B to aid in their rune research. He made sure to warn them not to touch the necromium without heavy gauntlets. In the first 2 days, he gained all of the enchantments that had been learned by the forge. He also spent talent points to unlock the spell schools of fire and air. You have purchased the talent Unlock Spell School Fire Magic for 10 talent points. You may now convert your known fire magic spells into enchantments. You have purchased the talent Unlock Spell School Air Magic for 10 talent points. You may now convert your known air magic spells into enchantments. You have 106 talent points remaining. You have now purchased the weapons enchantment, Weak Flame. Enchantment size unknown. Enchantment school, fire. You are currently at 0 of 2,400 of the mana cost to unlock this enchantment. Effects unknown. You have 105 talent points remaining. Learning the enchantment didn't take more than a few hours. Congratulations! You have learned the enchantment Fire Damage, level 1. Enchantment type, weapons. Enchantment size, 3. Enchantment school, fire. Effect, 1. Plus 1 fire damage. Richter began practicing with it immediately in the forge and quickly gained a few ranks. The true coup, though, was advancing his level 2 sonic enchantment to the 4th rank. That, in turn, increased the rank of his level 1 sonic enchantment as well. A thought was all that was required to add another column to his enchantment screen, showing if they had been learned from the forge or from his essence specialty. Whereas once he hadn't had enough enchantments, now he was swimming in them. He also learned more about his enchanting profession. Heal, for instance, had the same effect for armor and items, but the enchantment cost was higher for armor. Some enchantments were better suited to certain mediums. He also learned that macro enchanting was more complicated than he had thought. Such enchantments were normally done in sections. To enchant the village wall, for instance, a functional unit was 100 cubic feet. Seeing as how the wall was several miles long, the cost in souls would be astronomical. To make it even worse, the asterisks next to the cost meant 10 times as many soul points would be required to enchant even that one functional unit. Glorin told him that when Richter delved more into the macro enchanting branch of his talent tree, he could increase the size of the functional unit and decrease the asterisked costs. The one thing that was clear about macro enchantments was that they, while powerful, were also ungodly expensive. One unexpected surprise was that his crafting skill was synergistic with his efforts in the Forge of Heavens. Every skill level he had in crafting increased the enchantment potential of weapons and armor he worked on by 1%. That meant every forged item could now potentially absorb 25% more soul stuff. It didn't make the material more resilient, however. Iron daggers would still explode if he pushed too much energy into them. But it did mean that high-quality weapons made of metals with a high enchanting coefficient could now have 25% stronger enchantments. While he made major strides in enchanting, Richter barely progressed in his crafting skill. Annalise, the dual professional in mining and crafting that he'd freed from the goblins, knew how to make some low-level health rings, which was definitely helpful. The problem was that unlike enchanting weapons or armor, creating enchanted items required very specific materials. It was more akin to alchemy, where components needed to be put together in a specific order. There was also a slight hold-up when he asked Annalise for the template to make the health rings. He tried to convince her to share it with him for free, but after she laughed quite loudly in his face, he ended up forking over 2 gold and 3 silvers. She assured him that he'd gotten a great price. After he had her sit with Bartle for an hour, the scholar handed Richter the newly created magical document. Richter had his very own template. You have found template, Ring of Health, durability 7 of 7, template class, common, template level, simple, weight, 0.3 kilograms. Traits. This template allows you to create a ring of health. This ring will increase your maximum HP. Max enchantment rank per level, 1 of 1. Requires a copper ring, item quality above average or better. A common gem, jewel clarity, eye-catching or better. Fortify health enchantment. Base crafting time, 1 hour. Annalise told him that the levels of a crafter's template were the same as that of a smith's weapon schematic. The lowest level was simple. Then came advanced, superior, innovative, groundbreaking, ingenious, cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, revolutionary, masterwork, and savant. This template was only simple. She went on to explain the importance of a jewel's clarity and its rarity. Gems apparently had the same rarity scale as items. Common, uncommon, unusual, etc. The clarity was more exacting, though, and directly impacted a gem's price. For simplicity, she jotted down what she knew about it on a piece of parchment that he provided. Clarity. Trash. -80% cost change. Poor. -50% cost change. Occluded. -30% cost change. Flawed. -20% cost change. Cheap. -10% cost change. Average. No change. Eye-catching. +10% cost change. Sparkling. +25% cost change. Vibrant. +50% cost change. Glowing. +75% cost change. Brilliant. +100% cost change. Exquisite. +250% cost change. Prismatic. +500% cost change. Radiant. +750% cost change. Heavenly. +1,000 to 10,000% cost change. Flawless, true. +10,000 to 1,000,000% cost change. The list was helpful, but before he even really paid too much attention, his gaze was drawn to the last line. A flawless gem had a 10,000 to 1,000,000% markup? Who would ever pay that much for a pretty rock? Of course, it hadn't made sense to him why people would spend 2 months' pay for a ring back on Earth, either. When faced with the decision to buy a badass 69 Chevy Camaro or a teeny tiny rock that didn't even have any color, it was insane to choose the rock, right? For some reason, that entirely rational and well-considered argument had just never seemed to land when he shared it with the women he dated. Shaking his head at how no one understood his brilliance, Richter looked at the piece of paper again. He was actually taken aback by the sheer number of ranks a jewel's clarity could fall into. It was a more extensive rank system than any other he had learned, including forging or alchemy. To his surprise, Annalise told him what she'd written wasn't even scratching the surface. The color of the gem, as well as how it was cut, could also be very important for higher-level crafting, or so she had heard. For the simple template she had sold him, it shouldn't really matter. To make the low-level ring of health, he could use a jewel cut in any number of ways, but raw gems still wouldn't work. She told him she could show him how to do a simple square cut, provided he could get her some jeweler's tools. To his happy surprise, her request generated a prompt. Randolphus had told him that having a large group of professionals around would generate a great deal more quests, and it was great to see the truth of that play out. Richter readily accepted the quest in light of the fact that one of his villagers was now a professed jeweler. The jeweler was a blue-eyed human named Davin, with a spiky mop of brown hair atop his head. His gaze was actually a little intense, like a deer caught in headlights, but Richter plowed on with the request. It turned out that the man had actually been planning to ask the Chaos Seed for help, but hadn't yet worked up the nerve. He didn't have a good set of jeweler's tools either. He told Richter that there was a talent that would let Davin conjure his own tools, but it cost precious talent points that he didn't want to waste. Instead, after hearing Richter's request, the jeweler had generated a quest of his own. That was how Richter had found himself in the smithy discussing the project with Crom. Richter ended up making 3 sets of high steel jeweler's tools, though he messed up several times before he was done. When he was finished, he handed over a set, fulfilling the terms of Davin's quest. It netted him a cool 125 XP after his bonus from drinking a potion of clarity every day kicked in. Basically, it did jack squat to get him to his next level, but it earned him 200 relationship points with Davin. The jeweler said he would come to Richter in the future with any further needs. It was a not-so-subtle hint that there would be more quests coming. While the experience the quest had generated meant almost nothing to him, Richter could easily see how his low-level villagers would be grateful. Having these micro-quests pop up regularly would be great for his settlement as a whole. Richter told Davin to start making copper rings and cutting common stones so he could practice his new template. He was going to say his farewells, but Davin expressed an interest in meeting whomever Richter's second set of jeweler's tools were for. The two men walked back over to where Annalise was waiting, and Richter handed over the jeweler's tools while Davin introduced himself. Finishing the miner's quest earned him another 156 experience and 20 relationship points with the female crafter. A bit more XP, but definitely less relationship points. Not surprising, as Annalise had been a bit of a hard ass from the very beginning. The Chaos Seed handed her a common gem, a pink agate. She promptly started instructing him in how to cut it into a square shape. Annalise hadn't spoken for more than 30 seconds before Davin started criticizing her. Everything from her teaching technique to the loose grip she had on her tools. Soon Richter was sighing. The two of them were squabbling as only academics and tradesmen could. He had to actually make it a formal command to get them to stop fighting like cats in a sack. While that was annoying, he did benefit from the experience. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Gemcraft, plus 2% success of cutting gems, plus 2% value of cut gems. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Jewelry, plus 2% value of created jewelry, plus 2% attractiveness of created jewelry. After he gained the skill, Richter went on with the rest of his day. Annalise and Davin started arguing again before he was even 10 feet away. He decided he didn't care. What mattered was that he finally had a template to practice his crafting skill on, even if it couldn't accommodate more than a level 1 rank 1 enchantment. There was still one more stumbling block, though. He didn't know a fortify health enchantment. Fortunately, his specialty allowed for a simple solution. Unfortunately, that simple solution was expensive as hell. Now that he had reached skill level 16 in life magic, he was eligible to learn the level 15 spell, Weak Fortify Health. Sumiko was more than happy to teach him the spell for 8.5 gold. Anyone who thought paying that didn't set him grumbling would be wrong. When he asked her what she even wanted the gold for, wood sprites normally being naturally hippy-dippy communists, the life mage just told him not to worry his pretty head about it. Though he hated forking money over, Richter still didn't complain too much. She had given him a 50% discount, as she had sworn fealty. His trade skill gave him another 8% off. It was also a useful spell. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Fortify Health. Casting this spell increases your maximum health by plus 50%. This is a spell of life magic, level 15. Cost 182 mana. Duration, 30 minutes. Range, 100 feet. Cast time, 3 seconds. Cooldown, 1 hour. Now that he knew the spell, he could use his essence specialty to convert it into an enchantment. The cost to do that hurt Richter way more than handing over some gold. It cost 15 precious talent points. Now that he was leveling again, he was extremely hesitant to use talent point conversion to turn his XP into TPs. It was exceedingly useful, but it ground his personal progression to a standstill. The fact that he could also gain chaos points when he leveled almost made his mouth water. So instead, he dipped into his limited supply of TPs and converted the spell. You have 90 talent points remaining. Once he unlocked the enchantment, he chose items as the medium he wanted to learn and started funneling his mana. The overall cost was 14,560 MP to convert the spell into an enchantment. With his high mana regen of more than 30 MP per minute, it took less than 8 hours before he was rewarded with another prompt. Congratulations! You have learned the enchantment Fortify Health Level 1. Enchantment type, items. Enchantment size, 3. Enchantment school, life. Effect 1. Increase maximum health. Each rank gives plus 5 health. It was a modest increase, but what was important was that it let him practice his crafting skill. His sub-skill on conventional materials that he'd paid for so dearly hadn't really manifested itself yet, except for a faint niggling in the back of his mind while he worked. As no one else in the village had ever heard of the sub-skill, he was on his own. Richter began making enchanted rings as quickly as he could. Davin was able to make the rings by the dozen, and a copper vein had been found months ago in the iron mine. It hadn't been overly large, but it was more than enough to make hundreds of simple bands. The low-level gems were a slight problem, but not really. The local iron mine had been worked for months, and gems had been found periodically. After Randolphus had instituted procedures to ensure that the miners didn't accidentally forget to hand the gems over, the village had started building a small stockpile of cheap jewels. Most weren't worth more than a few silvers, and until now there had been no obvious utility to them. They couldn't even be traded since the village was way out in the middle of nowhere. Now he was going to put them to good use. Which was a good thing, given the fact that Richter wasn't willing to sacrifice the more expensive gems he owned just to fuel his crafting skill. The only downside was that he couldn't advance the rank of his enchantments that worked on items. The Forge of Heavens let him reach higher ranks of weapon and armor enchantments just by practice. With item enchantments, he was stuck at rank 1, unless he could get someone to teach him. After he had made several rings, he found there was another factor he had to face. The quality of the base materials. His 49 skill levels in enchanting increased the plus 5 health boost of his enchantment to a maximum of plus 7 to 8. He found that if Davin made the rings too fast, though, the best quality the man could manage was well-crafted, or worse, above average. That seemed to limit the health each ring could provide to plus 3 to 4. If Richter let him take his time, though, Davin made exceptional or superb rings. Richter could then make rings that gave a plus 5 to 6 buff. Always before, the quality of a weapon had only affected the amount of soul stuff Richter could use to power his enchantment. If he used more, the enchantment would be stronger. With item creation, it was apparently more nuanced, and he understood why Annalise had called it more art than science. After that discovery, Richter told the jeweler to focus on quality rather than quantity. When he asked the crafter why he still wasn't reaching the enchantment's full potential every time, she examined his rings and pointed out places where the script written on the inside of the ring wasn't quite perfect. Richter had to hold back a massive sigh. Instead, he just reminded himself that there was a large difference between expertise and skill. He had artificially increased his crafting skill by reading the unconventional materials skill book. It had let him leapfrog possibly years of toil, but that didn't mean he actually had the years of experience he had seen while living those memories. It was the difference between downloading knowledge of an MMA fighter and practicing the moves for years. He still lacked the instincts and muscle memory that would have come from earning the skills the old-fashioned way. Richter was pretty sure the mental pathways to make items perfectly had been laid out in his mind, but he still needed to use them to turn them into easily used grooves. This wasn't a game where everything came easily. This was the land. Despite only knowing one rank of the Fortify Health enchantment, Richter wasn't daunted. The health boost was trivial when compared to his hundreds of health, but for many of his villagers, one ring could increase their HP by more than 5%. Even better, the effects stacked if they wore multiple rings. Richter felt good knowing that every item he crafted and enchanted was helping to make his people stronger. Annalise told him that the true power of crafting frequently lay not in enchantments, but in the materials used. The more powerful and unique the material, the better. Richter immediately thought about the pitted iron sphere that had been found in the rock giant's chest, as well as the remains of the abyssal tree they had fought. Sion had brought it back in pieces, and they had found in its center a gnarled heart of black wood. It gave off a palpable heat when he placed his hands on it, and it triggered his identify talent. You have found Heart of an Immature Goblet Tree. Durability 105 of 105. Item class, unusual. Quality, immature. Weight, 1.7 kilograms. Traits. This is the heart of an immature goblet tree. Abyssal power still thrums within it. Planting the heart will grow another goblet tree. It is also possible its energy could be harnessed for other uses. He had hoped that either would inspire him to make something, but apparently just looking at objects was not how it worked. Unfortunately, he just didn't have the time to invest into playing with his new subskill. The initiate rank perk of unconventional materials let him sub out one item on a template. He tried using a wooden ring just once, but the item exploded, sending splinters into his face. Since he had been hunched over it at the time, the little boom had rung his bell. After that, he decided to wait a bit before experimenting again, or at least until he got some appropriate headgear. Annalise, of course, did not know about his sub-skill, but she did tell him after his mishap that even with a successful design, there was no guarantee that a template would be produced. It was actually extremely unlikely that one would be. A template guaranteed that every time one followed a certain series of steps, they would realize a specific outcome. Without a template, even if Richter did the same process twice, it might not work a second time, something that interested and frustrated him at the same time. He promised himself that he would devote more time to his crafting skill after the battle, but there were still many other matters to attend to. A wonderful surprise was that the journeyman Hisako had promised to lend to the Mist Village as her part of their trade treaty arrived. In typical fashion, she had gone above and beyond. Rather than simple journeymen, four more professionals took up residence in the village. There was a bowyer named Keregu to provide ranged weapons, though he preferred to be called a fletcher for some reason. She had also sent for a farmer to further help the yield of the crops, a crafter who was more than happy to sit with the scribes and add more templates to the village library, and most importantly, another engineer. Roswan and the gnome Leslie were actually getting along well, though the mustached elf looked pained most of the time. When you added in the new sprite engineer, they were able to get some serious building done in just a few days. Each skill rank in construction that a person reached let them lead a team of five unskilled workers without letting the final quality of their building suffer. At the fourth rank, for instance, each journeyman could run a crew of 20 people, and the edifice they constructed would still be as strong and high quality as if they had built it alone. Highly skilled builders could also bring other people that had the construction skill under their umbrella. Each of these builders could have their own teams, making the lead builder a foreman, and each builder under them a crew chief of sorts. Each rank after novice let a builder bring in a crew chief that was equal to or below their level in skill. As a journeyman, that meant Roswan could have three crew chiefs at his rank or lower. Leslie and the sprite engineer, nicknamed Nitro Hawk, were both journeymen as well. They could still serve as crew chiefs for the mustached elf, though they were effectively treated as the next rank down, apprentices. That meant each of the crew chiefs could field a team of 15 people. With all three of them working together, they were overseeing 60 workers per project. They were able to squeeze a few more workers into the building crew because two of the other villagers were initiates in construction. There were talents that professed engineers could buy to increase the maximum number of workers or crew chiefs, but neither engineer had purchased any of those yet. Richter also got to know Leslie much better over the next few days. Having her in the job of village builder was an education, whether you wanted it to be or not. The blonde gnome talked non-stop, which seemed a bit manic to Richter. There was no denying, though, that she was insanely organized. Her binders of notes were even thicker than Randy's. She cornered him during lunch one day, and what she taught the Chaos Seed, in exacting detail, was that each construction project had a specific number of building points that were required to complete it. Someone without the construction skill could add, at most, half a building point, or BP, to a project for each workday. Each novice in construction generated one building point for 8 hours of work. Initiate-ranked builders generated 2 points, apprentices 3, journeymen 4, and so on. These points were further increased by the fact that each level someone obtained in construction increased their building speed by another 2%. Put another way, a novice with skill level 2 in construction would generate 1.04 BPs per day, while an apprentice with skill level 28 would generate 4.68 BPs per day. With all three journeymen pitching in, the building crew was now generating 89.7 BPs per day at baseline. It was a serious improvement over the previous builder team where Roswan had been the only journeyman, and they had only generated 13.4 BPs per day. Basically, they were rocking and rolling. Erecting buildings was not an exact science, of course. The number of building points required for a specific edifice was based on an ideal scenario. Being interrupted by inclement weather and workplace injuries, as well as running out of raw materials and making sure that the materials were always close at hand and of good quality, all affected the speed at which a building went up, to name a few factors. Of course, this also assumed that everyone was paying attention and didn't make stupid mistakes. Even in a world as magical as the land, human error was inevitable. Dwarf, elf, and gnome error seemed a sure thing as well. Still, there was no denying how much faster things were getting done now. Roswan was munching on some eggs while Leslie explained all of this to Richter. When the Chaos Seed asked why the engineer hadn't ever explained any of these things before, the elf just shrugged his mustache and replied, "Grrr." Richter rolled his eyes and turned his attention back to Leslie. The blonde gnome woman showed him how the village's city mechanics further increased the building crew's effectiveness. The productivity bonus the Mist Village enjoyed was staggering at this point. The settlement's 3 ranks in morale added 20%, and the village's loyalty added a whopping 70% now that the village had reached the 4th rank, trusting. As icing on the cake, because Leslie had accepted the job as village builder, they could count on another plus 6% to village productivity applied to building projects. When you factored in the 11% bonus from Richter's 11 skill levels in administration, that gave a final boost to productivity of 107%. His village was producing 185.7 BP each day. The first project the construction crew tackled was the town hall. Leslie also taught Richter that it frequently cost a lot less building points to repair a building than to build it from scratch. The goblin hold that had been transported along with the dungeon was the goblin equivalent of a town hall, and, thanks to Richter's limitless ability, could serve the same function in the Mist Village, even though it wasn't a goblin community. The building had suffered a great deal of damage when it was teleported, though. It was also almost worthless in its current location outside the village walls. Those two factors had made Richter worry that the goblin hold was a lost cause, and that it might be a better idea to just build a new town hall from scratch. Leslie wouldn't hear a word of it, though. The fiery little gnome had just taken it as a challenge and had come up with a plan. The first problem she addressed was the goblin hold needing to be moved inside the village walls. She examined it closely and found 2 stress points that let her break the structure into sections. After that, she rolled the 3 large pieces into the village on cut logs. It cost 98 BPs to accomplish that feat, but it still saved time. While a level 1 town hall made of wood cost 500 BPs to erect from scratch, the repairs only required 141. Including the time required to move the goblin hold, that still meant they spent less than half the time it would have taken to do as Richter had suggested. He was reminded of the true secret of any leader's success. Hire people smarter than yourself, then stay the hell out of their way. The town hall was finished in 2 days. The speed they were building even let Roswan slink off to the dungeon every night to keep playing with his new specialty. The overall BP could have been even higher if Richter had personally gotten involved. His administration skill had a sub-skill called Lead from the Front. It meant that any project he was directly involved in got a boost to productivity. At sub-skill level 5, he could have boosted productivity by another 5%. His own skill in construction was a paltry level 4, though, which basically made him a grunt. He decided that the boost to construction speed wasn't worth sacrificing the 8 hours of his day that could be better spent enchanting. There was another option to improve production time, but he quickly discarded it as well after talking to Randolphus. He could have had his people work longer than an 8-hour day. Time and a half, or even double time, would have drastically increased the speed buildings went up, and, if only done sporadically, could be accomplished without any ill effects, especially if Richter paid the workers overtime. If it occurred too often, though, there would be consequences. One such problem was that the overall quality of the building might suffer, decreasing its durability and maybe even the perks it gave the village. It could also have rather quick effects on village morale and long-term could even decrease village loyalty. When Richter heard that, he decided they were building fast enough. As soon as the town hall was finished, more functionality became available on Richter's interface. Even better, it let him assign a town administrator, a job that the Chamberlain readily accepted. Congratulations, you have filled another job. Randolphinius is now the town administrator. As his administration skill is even higher than yours, your settlement may now benefit from his skill level of 41, plus 41% to village morale, loyalty, and productivity. Know this, you have assigned a specialist spy with a focus in counterintelligence as your town administrator. For choosing such a uniquely suited individual, the following benefits are now in effect. 1. Espionage from foreign settlements is 10% less effective per town hall level. 2. Plus 10 espionage points generated by town hall per day per level. 3. Every diplomat allotted to your settlement allows you to name an equal number of spies. As soon as Richter finished reading the prompt, he was already envisioning double O's making people disappear. Even though Randolphus was a professional spy, he still hadn't really thought too much about espionage. It just didn't fit with his idea of his bucolic village and the monster-filled forests that surrounded it. He definitely didn't want to be the fool that ignored such an important part of his nation's security, though. 1,000 questions went through his mind, but the first was what exactly constituted a diplomat and a spy. Luckily, Randolphus was close at hand to explain. Both roles were village jobs. Unlike other jobs, they did not directly affect his settlement. Instead, they allowed the men and women assigned to the roles to act on behalf of the village. It also allowed them to use diplomatic and espionage points, respectively. As leader of the Mist Village, Richter could expend points from either set as well. Now that Randolphus was town administrator, he could do the same. Outside of point usage, diplomats were public figures, while the identities of spies remained secret for obvious reasons. But if either were caught doing things the settlements they were assigned to found objectionable, it could cause a serious hit to the Mist Village's relationship with that community. That was why it was so important to pick the right person for those jobs. Diplomats could gradually improve the relationship between two settlements. They also provided valuable intelligence information and could help gain favorable terms in any treaties. In addition to the tasks they could complete, they enjoyed a limited amount of diplomatic immunity. Depending on the situation, spies could embed themselves in other civilizations and use espionage points to make their missions more likely to succeed. They could develop assets, steal technologies, and perform any number of other missions. Randolphus told him that although his spy specialty was heavily synergistic with the job of spy, anyone could fill the job, though of course some were better suited than others. The newly designated town administrator said he already had his eye on a few possible candidates for the positions and would prepare assignments for all of them. As interesting as all that was, what had Richter doing a fist pump was the 41% boost to morale, loyalty, and productivity. His village was now benefiting from Randy's 100 years of experience serving as the palace chamberlain in law. During that time, the spy had advanced his administration skill all the way to level 41. The bonus wasn't enough to increase the village's morale or loyalty in rank again, but the productivity buff was immediately useful. When the plus 6% bonus to construction productivity from having Leslie accept the job as village builder was factored in, total village productivity increased to plus 137%, yielding 212.6 building points a day. Richter had promptly given Randolphus a high five and asked why they hadn't done this before. The Chamberlain either ignored his liege's sarcasm or didn't get it. "My lord, it was necessary to wait until you reached the initiate rank in your own administration skill, and to speak plainly, you have never expressed a desire to be involved in the day-to-day business of running the village. This slowed your progression." Richter's mouth twisted ruefully at the recrimination. The man wasn't wrong. "Also," Randolphus continued, "I have served several lords before you, and have learned that asking for more power can be an easy road to the hangman's noose." His gaze grew intent and serious. "When I swore my loyalty to you, I meant every word, my lord. I am honored that you would trust me with the role of town administrator, and I hope you know that I would never seek to betray you."
"Unless it conflicts with that one vow you made before that you can't tell me about," Richter couldn't help but adding. With an unwavering gaze, Randolphus simply answered, "Yes." Richter heaved a heavy sigh. That secret vow was like an invisible wedge between them. Wedge or not, though, it was becoming increasingly clear that the Chamberlain might literally be indispensable at this point. Also, the only reason Richter even knew about the vow was that Randolphus had told him about it. The trained spy could have just lied or obfuscated the truth. Instead, he'd been straight up with Richter. Also, for whatever reason, the universe had made them companions. That meant their goals aligned, at least for now. Richter felt that that had to mean something.
"Do you wish to remove me from my position?" the spy asked quietly, interrupting Richter's reflections.
"No," the Chaos Seed had replied firmly. Then the two of them shook hands and got back to work. The town hall opened up a host of other options for Richter. After reading the list, he realized Randolphus was right. He had been an absolute fool for not building a town hall first.
"Know this. You have built a fully functional town hall, Goblinhold, level 1. Your settlement will now enjoy the building bonuses from having such a building. It is only due to your limitless ability that you may use a goblin building in this capacity. Truly, you are fortunate, for you will now benefit from both the human and goblin settlement bonuses. 1. Can assign the job town administrator. 2. Diplomacy points can now be collected. Max 1,000 DP per foreign settlement. 3. The max level of buildings in your settlement has increased to the level of your town hall plus 1. Current max building level, 2. 4. You may now institute taxes with decreased morale and loyalty penalties. A. 1-5% taxation, no penalty. B. Each 1% increases penalty until reaching 10% taxation, equaling minus 50% penalty. C. Greater than 10% taxation equals full penalty. 5. Increases loyalty and morale by plus 1 per day, max change, plus 1,000 points each. A. Can now know daily rate change in city mechanics. 6. Informs the ruler of the settlement as to average change in settlement mechanics, morale, loyalty, health, commerce, etc. on a day-by-day basis, base without changes. A. Loyalty, plus 1.03. B. Morale, plus 1.2. C. Health, minus 0.02. D. Commerce, not applicable. E. Corruption, not applicable. 7. Can assign 2 diplomats and 2 spies. Each diplomat has plus 1 relationship rank with other settlements. 8. Provides A. 100 units of storage space. B. Housing for 25 people. Adequate housing quality. 9. can now generate specific quests, 100 XP generated daily, which can be used as a reward. As town administrator, Randolphus received the same notification as Richter. These were the generic bonuses any settlement would gain from having a town hall, but there were also specific benefits from converting a captured goblin hold. 1. Having such an impressive settlement center causes your people to be 5% less likely to revolt or plot against you. 2. Affixing the remains of conquered foes will inspire your people and provide bonuses to your populace. Max, 2 trophies. When Richter initially read the last prompt, he really hadn't been overly interested in attaching decaying flesh or old bones to his town hall, but Randolphus confirmed there could be great benefit in doing so. He'd actually already had the builders remove a few bones that had been affixed to the building. Of course, he had thought they were just macabre decorations. Once the goblin hold was repaired, putting the old bones back did nothing. Roswan guessed that was because the villagers had not claimed the trophies themselves. That gave Richter an idea, though. 30 minutes later, Richter stood in front of the town hall with the leg bones of an old nemesis and a complaining necromancer to boot. He had previously allowed Bayan to commandeer the remains of the rock giant to see if he could make anything out of them. The gnome apparently thought it was unfair Richter was now taking them back, especially since his pet Decamer Knight was about to be sacrificed. The Chaos Seed ignored the protests. He'd only taken the leg bones. Bayan still had the arm bones and a giant's crown, heart, and skin to play with. A short time later, the two bones were affixed in an X above the main entrance. Richter smiled as he gained a new prompt. Truly, you have triumphed over a mighty foe. The fact that this was a mortal enemy doubles the bonus to your settlement. +2, base +1, strength to every member of your village. That bonus was not only awesome, it earned him another boost to morale. +40 morale points for boosting the strength of your settlement by +2. Total morale points, +1,614. +200 personal relationship points with every villager. It felt a bit like he would never get to rank 4 in the village's morale, Richter thought sourly. If he hadn't accepted the freed prisoners into the village's population, he probably would have reached that milestone already. Then again, the former captives had also increased the number of hands to help out in the village and had brought him several new professionals to boot. All in all, Richter was more than satisfied with his choice to grow his settlement's population. And really, with all of his choices so far, minus 1 or 2 drunken moments, but hey, he was an American. Shit yeah! Richter tried 1 or 2 other remains. He brought out a bag of condensed powdered crystal, hoping that the crystal guardian would trigger something. Apparently, rendering a foe's body into dust made it ineligible for this particular perk, because nothing happened. Richter thought about a few other enemies. The Crypt Mistress, the Dark Aberration, Nien the Reaver. It only took about 10 seconds for him to decide against anointing his new town hall with any of those. Even though the rock giant had been a 20-foot-tall cock, it hadn't necessarily been evil. His other noteworthy foes, though, were seriously bad mojo. He wasn't sure what perk might come from such evil remains, and he wasn't willing to risk that it might irrevocably change his village for the worse. Richter was pretty sure a goblin chief might consider making his people more ruthless or bloodthirsty a good thing, but he did not. Until he could learn more about this particular perk, he told the builders that he only wanted to put neutral-aligned enemies up as trophies. To himself, he added good enemies would work in a pinch as well. There was one more prompt that came from building his town hall, something that he hadn't expected but was perhaps the most exciting development. Greetings, Master of the Mist Village. For building a settlement center, you may now decide what type of ruler path you will follow. Your people will follow your direction and act accordingly. The following options are based on your own proclivities as a ruler. You may now choose a specialization for your village. Richter's eyes grew wide as the options were laid out in front of him. Ruler path, technocrat. Ruler bonus. Cumulative with settlement bonus. plus 100% or plus 1 research points generated even when not actively involved in research, whichever is greater. Settlement bonus, plus 10% research points, plus 1% chance of having an epiphany. Ruler path, summoner. Ruler bonus, plus 2 level increase of summoned creatures. Settlement bonus, creatures summoned inside settlement domain plus 50% stronger and last plus 50% as long. Ruler path, diplomat. Ruler bonus, 1 day of diplomatic immunity with enemy settlements. 1 week of diplomatic immunity with neutral settlements. Can use once per month. Settlement bonus, plus 10% relationship points with other settlements. Plus 10 diplomatic points per day with settlements which have friendly or better relationship with your settlement, max 500. Plus 1 relationship rank with other settlements. Ruler path, warmonger. Ruler bonus, plus 10% XP from slain enemies. Settlement bonus, plus 10% XP from slain enemies, plus 1 fighting spirit rank. Ruler path, merchant. Ruler bonus, plus 10% better prices, buying and selling. Settlement bonus, plus 10% better terms during trade agreements. Other settlements more likely to enter into trade agreements. Ruler path, explorer. Ruler bonus, plus 10% movement speed. Settlement bonus, plus 10% movement speed for every villager. Plus 10% chance to find locations. Minus 10% chance of monster attacks. Ruler path, lover. Ruler bonus, plus 10% charisma, plus 50% more fertile. Settlement bonus, plus 10% population growth, plus 10% morale. Ruler path, alchemist. Ruler bonus, plus 10% potion effect. Settlement bonus, plus 10% potion effect. Plus 10% chance of successful potion completion. Plus 1% chance to make new recipes. Ruler path, master mage. Ruler bonus, minus 10% mana cost for all spells. Settlement bonus, plus 10% mana for all villagers. Increased magic skill affinity for villagers. Ruler path, enchanter. Ruler bonus, plus 10% enchantment points per captured soul. Plus 10% chance of enchantment success. Settlement bonus, plus 10% chance of captured souls being upgraded by 1 rank. Ruler path, fighter. Ruler bonus, plus 10% health. Settlement bonus, plus 10% skill progression for martial skills. Increased magic skill affinity for villagers. Ruler path, adventurer. Ruler bonus, plus 10% attack and defense while in dungeon or labyrinth. Plus 10% chance to find nodes. Settlement bonus, plus 10% dungeon points from any source. Plus 10% dungeon loot. Ruler path, hunter. Ruler bonus, plus 10% attack and defense against creatures in your domain. Settlement bonus, plus 10% chance to find dens, nests, lairs, etc. Plus 10% attack and defense against creatures in the domain of the settlement. Ruler path, armorer. Ruler bonus, plus 10% attack and defense. Settlement bonus, plus 10% smithing productivity. Plus 10% attack and defense of forged items. Ruler path, benevolent ruler. Ruler bonus, plus 10 relationship points per day with villagers who have sworn fealty. Settlement bonus, plus 10% morale points per day. Plus 10% chance for villagers to swear fealty. As soon as Richter saw the extensive table, he was overcome with 2 emotions. The first, predictably, was irritation. Why hadn't anyone told him that building a town hall would let him specialize the village? If he had a Dr. Evil conference table, he would seriously be pushing some buttons and cooking some fools. Since he lacked said table, or even electricity, or a volcano lair to drop said henchmen into, he moved on to his next emotion, which was pure fucking awe.
He was overwhelmed by the sheer number of choices and the benefits each could bring to his people, so much so that he sought out help from the best authority he knew on such matters.
"I am relieved that you finally constructed a settlement center," Hisako told him in a slightly judgmental voice.
Richter's hand slowly curled into claws, and he bit back the criticism that she could have told him how important it was. "Me too. Now, what can you tell me?"
Hisako eyeballed him for a second, having totally caught his tone, but she answered anyway. "The choice of specialization is a serious one, Lord Richter. Each level your village achieves allows you to choose an additional specialization, but once made, the choice can never be undone."
"Well, what did you choose to specialize in?" Richter asked. She regarded him for a moment, but ultimately answered,
"We are Earth Guardians. The benefits are subtle at first, but, just as in nature, from tiny acorns do massive oaks grow. Our specialization has given us a profound connection with nature and allows our trees to grow strong."
Richter thought about what she had said. He didn't have the Earth Guardian option, so he couldn't know the specifics, but he could see how it would be the perfect choice for the sprites. They were bonded to nature, and preservation of the natural order was almost a religion to them. The more he thought about it, the more a few unanswered questions seemed to fall into place. The wood sprites had an ability, woodcraft. It let them literally disappear into the trees. It also let them move through the woods as fast as if they were running down a paved road. Some of the other races of sprites didn't have that, though. Hill sprites definitely didn't, and even a few of the forest sprites had lacked it. Every single wood sprite did have the ability, though. Was that a perk of their settlement specialization? Richter also reflected on what Hisako had said about the specialization making trees grow strong. The hearth tree was the single largest structure he had come across since coming to the land. The thing was so big it boggled the mind. It was just a guess, but he thought it was over 200 stories tall. Richter had always thought it had grown that large because it was built on a place of power, but maybe that wasn't the whole story. Maybe whatever high level her settlement had achieved in its specialty had also played a role. That kind of information would be valuable and possibly compromising. He suddenly knew why she had hesitated before telling him. He bowed his head and, in a serious tone, thanked her for sharing such an intimate piece of information. She smiled warmly, pleased that Richter had understood the trust she was showing him.
"Well, do you have any advice for me?"
he asked.
"Yes, but I will not tell you specifically what to do," she told him simply. "Your village is a reflection of you. My counsel is that you ask yourself, who do you want to become? What do you want your village and its people to become? Trust yourself, young lord, and the decision will become clear."
With that pronouncement, she had walked off. Richter had mulled over both her words and his options for a long while before making his decision. The problem was that so many of them made sense. The first, Technocrat, would give a serious boost to the village's research. They had only just scratched the surface of that particular facet of the settlement, and Richter was sure there would be awesome bonuses later as they learned more techs. It was a late-game play, something that fit with his general approach when he'd been a gamer. The problem was, in the last few months, he had found that approach just couldn't be applied all the time in real life. When you were gaming, the biggest consequence of losing was having to buy a round of beers for your friends. In real life, ignoring the needs of today could get people killed. On the other side of the spectrum, warmonger, master mage, alchemist, armorer, and hunter all gave immediate benefits. They made his people tougher, stronger, and more likely to survive in the harsh environment of the forest. Hunter especially was attractive. Finding nests and dens was something Richter worried about in the back of his head. If he hadn't found the Asingai spider nest before those thousands of spiders had hatched, the thought made him shudder. And that was only one example. If any type of lair went unchecked, hordes of monsters could sweep over the village in a wave of death. The best strategy, by far, was to clear out pockets of breeding monsters before they could become entrenched and proliferate out of control. That was, of course, easier said than done. Finding them was a matter of luck as much as skill sometimes. While all of those choices could offer real benefits, Richter realized that the village already had perks that gave them an edge in battle, the biggest being the Forge of Heavens and the enchanted weapons and armor that were made there, which of course brought to mind the enchanter specialization. That settlement bonus, upgrading captured souls, was amazing. There was a pretty steady stream of basic and common souls being brought into the village now, thanks to the soul trap arrows Richter was making. Higher level souls, luminous or brilliant rank, for example, were much harder to come by. If the common souls obtained from average strength monsters were periodically bumped up to luminous, that would be a game changer. It would let Richter make stronger enchantments, which in turn would make his people deadlier by far. The con to that, though, was that he and Glorin were the only two people in the village with a high skill level in enchanting. If Richter was apart from the village for an extended period of time, that would mean only one person in 1,000 would really benefit from the specialization. Diplomat would prove useful, especially since the village's boat would be finished any day now. Ideally, he would meet other settlements soon, and it would be great to have a boost in negotiations. As nice as that sounded, though, Richter already knew diplomacy wasn't his strong suit. Same with merchant. He definitely loved a good deal, but trade would always be a means to an end, not the real purpose of his life or his village. Summoner was fascinating. He would love to have the personal bonus to his summoning magic. His minions being 2 levels higher would really increase their battle capabilities, and it might even be good for the mist workers he summoned on a daily basis. It really didn't fit the needs of the village as a whole, though. At least not yet. Richter's eyes lingered on Lover for a bit. That could definitely be fun, but he was already kind of up to his neck in Pootie Tang. Also, the 50% more fertile thing was not his idea of awesome. He was already downing enough star Zenia that it might start sprouting from his ass. He had prayed more than once that the herb didn't have any weird side effects. Still, even if it did, better some pube loss or minor brain damage than a bunch of bambinos bouncing around, in Richter's opinion. Benevolent Ruler was definitely the safe choice. A daily boost to morale would be great. The personal boost to his relationship with every villager would have many positive long-term effects as well. Overall, his people definitely liked him, but it hadn't escaped Richter's notice that he was leading a settlement of over 1,000 now. If even 1% of them were plotting against him, it could lead to all manner of trouble. Richter mulled it over for the rest of the day and discussed it with Randolphus. The spy advised him to look at it from another angle. It wasn't just the initial perks of a specialization that needed to be considered. It was the difficulty in leveling each path as well. Technocrat, for instance, required that the village research 10 techs after choosing his specialization. That could take an entire year. They had battles to fight now, and enemies that were probably plotting against them every day. If leveling was as important as Randolphus said, then choosing research as a specialization was definitely not the best choice. That sage advice narrowed it down for Richter. Of all the options, the two that had really caught his eye were Enchanter and Adventurer. Both would be easy for him to level, something that Randolphus promised would open more options down the road. The Chamberlain couldn't say exactly what leveling would do, as it was unique for each settlement, but he guaranteed there would be interesting opportunities as the village progressed down its chosen path. Enchanter would be great for Richter personally. It would increase his power and the capabilities of his profession. That in turn would strengthen the village, albeit indirectly. Adventurer, on the other hand, would increase the power of anyone he allowed into the dungeon. Richter had already decided to make access as widely available to his sworn people as was safe. That meant potentially hundreds of people could benefit from the adventurer specialization every day. Randolphus had told him that he didn't know of any other settlements that had been offered the adventurer specialization. There were obviously dungeons in other cities, and the dungeon in Law was reported to have predated the city. But apparently Law had chosen the Conqueror Settlement specialization. It provided significant bonuses when they invaded and attacked other peoples. Randolphus pointed out that the Founders of Law might also not have been given the choice since they had never been dungeon masters. The Chamberlain seemed quite excited about the possibilities of choosing the path of the adventurer. He pointed out that having a rare specialization might also give rare bonuses to the settlement. Randy also reminded him that the dungeon was already making over 180 dungeon points a day. With another 10% boost, the specialization would level in less than a week. There were 1,000 reasons to pick each specialty, but he realized that Hisako's initial advice would be